to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 186 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a great weekend. It was picture perfect up here in Metro Detroit. Sun was out Friday to Sunday, not a drop of rain. Ended what was Zoom happy hours with actual happy hours. Friends came over both Friday, Saturday, fired up the grill, the smoker, 14 pounds of pulled pork, burgers, roasted corn, you name it. And had a great round of golf on Saturday morning. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, not to mention, we got some racing in without any interference from Mother Nature. I had the TV outside for the truck Xfinity race on Saturday. Could not have asked for a better weekend. Hope you guys got to enjoy it as much as I did. Unfortunately, things not looking as great from a weather perspective for tomorrow night, but we'll cross that bridge with Brian Newdorf here a little bit later on. Lap Traffic Nation, you guys are so amazing. Last week's show put an all-time total downloads over 100,000. And the show's been hovering around the top 50 mark on the iTunes Fantasy Sports chart. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. And speaking of last week's show, I hope you enjoyed the Orange Cone and Michael Palmer. It was great catching up with Cone, talking some ARCA, and it was great to catch up with Mikey and get an update on his incredible journey over the last couple months. And if you stuck around a little late last Tuesday night, you caught a special appearance of Laugh Traffic on the PETM podcast. Joined Rusty and Sherwin over there to close out their show last week, which was awesome. So if you haven't checked that out yet, go get over there. They'll be live tonight as well. So make sure you check those guys out. So a lot of kind of cool things came together over the last couple days. Some big news. I will be joining Wayne Harvey, host of The Morning Line on 92.9 WEZQ, The Ticket, out of Bangor, Maine this Thursday. And what will hopefully turn into a weekly segment on their morning show and talk a little NASCAR. Like, how freaking cool is that? Go stream 92.9 WEZQ on Thursday morning around 7:30, and you might hear yours truly on there. We're going to talk about Martinsville. So hopefully we get the Martinsville race in so that that all comes together. I'm very excited about that. Can't wait to see where that goes. Got a great show tonight. Woody Kane from MRN. And late addition to the show, yes, this week's Xfinity winner, AJ Allmendinger, is also going to be on. Got your trucks, Xfinity Cup from Atlanta, social media, Brian Newdorf with the weather, lucky dog lap down picks, and somewhat of a fantasy to close things out since we're midweek into the fantasy with the Wednesday night race. So that said, let's get things going. Let's get Woody Kane on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He hosts the NASCAR Life Pre-Race, the Out Loud Podcast. He's the news director with MRN Radio. You can still find him in the garage in Pit Road. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Woody Kane. Woody, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Just excited to get back going racing and kind of enjoying these midweek shows.
Isn't it awesome? Like, yeah, I know, like, the logistics down the road of trying to do a Wednesday night race with fans is going to be a question. But, man, right now there's no baseball. Like, we've got the spotlight, man. And I just love that NASCAR's running with that.
Yeah, and I think there's another element as well. The races are shorter on the weeknights, which I think is something that some fans have been kind of calling for a while, and NASCAR have been considering for a while, and I think that's been a hit as well. So I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that so many of the things that have kind of been on the drawing board for a while have now been pushed to the forefront because of what NASCAR has had to do to work around the various states and what all they're doing in response to the coronavirus. But man, not that there's a good side to such a thing where so many people have had serious illness and even lost their lives, but in this instance, it has pushed the sport to do some things sooner than maybe they would have otherwise.
Absolutely. You know, NASCAR's kind of been given that carte blanche, like, hey, take pasta, throw it at the wall, see what sticks, and it's going to come. You know, social media is kind of like that anomaly to where you've got to kind of separate yourself between everyone's going to have something to complain about. But NASCAR's in that unique position to where they can test and try by trial and error and not take too much flack from people, which is awesome that they're taking advantage of this situation.
Yeah, and that's the way to go. And there's even a lot of talk about some other options of things that they could try along the way. Like we saw some of the shenanigans at Atlanta of trying to get off pit road and jockeying for position so you're in the inside or outside lane, and putting a choose cone out there so guys pick their lane that way instead of having all the tomfoolery on pit road. We may see something like that down the road. Who knows? As you say, it's kind of a clean slate, and they can try things right now and not worry about, you know, the repercussions so much under that they would under ordinary circumstances.
Absolutely. And I think the choose cone would just be such an amazing, unique tool that NASCAR could use, you know, especially at the short tracks, you know, Bristol, Martinsville, you know, some of these places to where if you get stuck on the outside, you know, you don't want to be there. But then you may have a team that wants to take advantage, and that might help that team get a top 10 finish choosing to be on the outside when everyone else wants to be on the inside, which could really help elevate that team, you know. So definitely different strategies that choose cone could come into play for.
Yeah, and I think once folks see it who aren't as familiar with it, they'll fall in love with it. Fans,
absolutely.
I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah. Woody, before we get into nitty-gritty, you and I have beef, and you don't even know about it yet. Are you ready?
I don't know. Am I?
I'm going to give you a date, and I think this might spark what this might be about. Does September 1st, 2007 ring a bell to you at all?
September 1st, 2007. Not off the top of my head. I feel like I'm forgetting something important.
Michigan Appalachian State.
Oh, yes. And it's Appalachian. You can't say Appalachian.
I'm sorry.
You can get away with it as a Michigan guy, but them's fighting words here. You got to say Appalachian, like a latch on a door. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. The date was escaping me. Yeah, I remember the year, but the exact date I wasn't. And I've even got a T-shirt with it printed on it. So how could I forget that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Big Appalachian guy for forever and ever. Met my wife there, and a lot of good times in Boone.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? That would be a fun thing to bring up here, man, because Michigan, ever since then, Michigan has not been the same since that day. I believe that in my heart of hearts that Michigan's never played the same football since that day. So you guys left a solid mark in the big house that day. That's awesome.
It's like you say, wherever you go, leave a mark, right?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Family, all that good, safe, healthy, quarantine, did you pick up a new hobby or anything like that during all this nonsense?
No, I kind of revived some of my old Mac equipment that I had put in the closets and, you know, that I used to use just for some video games and stuff like that, and got those all spread out here. Got the home office out of mothballs and got that going. We're still working from home at MRN. We go by the office occasionally, but just a couple of us at a time to get that type of thing done. The big news is I had rotator cuff surgery 2 weeks ago, just a little over 2 weeks ago. So I'm in a sling for another 4 weeks.
You know, I need to get that myself. That's crazy. Did everything go all right, I assume? Like, are you going to be
on the golf course soon? It's just a no, not soon. No, it's just a very slow recovery process. And the first weekend was kind of rough pain wise.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been okay. It's just slow. Started physical therapy last week, but it's just very, very minor movements right now until I get out of the sling and can start doing some more stuff.
Okay.
Can't drive yet or any of that. So it's just maddeningly slow. I mean, at least I finally got some exercises I can do at home from physical therapy instead of just waiting. Sure. That's the miserable part. Yeah. If you can at least do something, you feel like you've got, you know, going in the right direction, but just sitting and watching, waiting, that's not fun at all.
I believe that, man. So that probably answers the next question. You have not been to a post quarantine race yet. Anything scheduled that you're going to try to maybe get to if the media allowances get knocked up or anything like that, to where they let a little bit more people at the track?
We'll see. Right now, I mean, we're not even using our full complement of pit people. We started off with two, and now we're just using one, and we have been for the past several events. So, you know, we're not even at our normal complement yet. And right now, I've still got at least four more weeks in this sling, and that's not conducive to travel.
Nope.
You know, I can ride with somebody, but I can't drive yet, and certainly not very good idea to be on an airplane. You know, I'm still sleeping in a recliner, man. That's not a good idea to go in a hotel room, because you know some of those chairs, you might not get one that'll kind of give you the support you need, yeah, right?
Absolutely. The speediest of recoveries there for you, sir. I hope everything comes along there for you. So you mentioned it here kind of at the start in terms of the shorter races, midweek races. We've seen shorter weekends, maybe not necessarily the average fan might pick up on that because they normally just tune in and watch the race. But no practice, no qualifying. You know, it's made for some interesting pit roads. You know, we've seen a little bit of an uptick with penalties there and stuff like that. You know, if you had to take out the crystal ball, where might you see that go down the road in terms of practice qualifying and all that?
I just can't help but think that it's going to be revamped versus what we've been accustomed to seeing. We probably won't have nothing, you know, no qualifying, no practice going forward. But I think certainly 3-4 long practice sessions a weekend and a long qualifying session, I just can't help but think that those days are gone. So many of the drivers like it. So many of the teams like it. It helps hold costs down. The crew chiefs may not like it as much because they want to make sure the car is a little bit better. So maybe some kind of a compromise where they do like a happy hour thing and some kind of a, you know, some kind of a situation where your qualifying and practice are combined, you know, where you can go out and run what laps you want and the laps are timed. And, you know, maybe something like that we'll see down the road. But, man, so many people like the lack of practice and qualifying even that I think I can't help but think they're going to keep some version of that. Maybe not bare minimum like we've got now, but certainly condensed.
Well, I got to think the driver and the crews like it because, you know, the driver, you know, they've got such a busy weekend. By the time they touch down on the ground from media, from sponsor, from practice, you know, they are nonstop. You know, depending on the track from, you know, Friday to Sunday, the crews slashing away and the cars in the garage. The one thing that I thought, you know, kind of like what you just said in terms of, you know, maybe a single happy hour and then maybe a second practice based on the number of years in that series that you've had. You know, maybe they have like a rookies and a 5-year and under for the cup or something like that. Give them an extra practice so that that team can maybe start to develop a notebook or something like that. But I'm with you.
But man, they're already giving the rookies an extra set of tires, and then you're going to have some of the more veteran teams squawking going, wait, you're going to give them an extra set of tires and an extra practice session? Come on now. Hey, what about something for me? You know, then you start that whole cycle again.
No, that's, and isn't that crazy? Like, depend, you know, like we just left Atlanta, you know, an extra set of tires, that's a lot for a track like Atlanta. You know, you look at maybe like a track like Michigan, for example, you know, that extra set of tires maybe doesn't weigh as much. But yeah, that's a good call there. That extra set of tires, depending on where we're at, definitely can play a role.
Make a difference for sure.
Absolutely. NASCAR is allowing potentially up to 1,000 military personnel as fans. For me, I'm thinking that maybe NASCAR is using that as a test to see how they can get people in, how social distancing can occur, bathrooms, concessions. I think the biggest issue going forward might not be that we can't allow X number of people in, but how do you control, you know, fans rushing the start-finish line, post-race, tram lines, merchandise. It's the logistics that NASCAR and all sports are really going to be challenged by. Is that fair?
I think they may be doing that, you know, kind of getting an idea of what to expect when they do start letting fans back in with the military that they are letting in now. But remember, they did just an amazing amount of work to get to this point, because imagine it's not like you can go and have the same rules. Like, you know, a basketball court is a basketball court no matter where you go. You know, you may have different fans, may have different seating configurations, but the court itself and the goals and all that are the same. A racetrack is not like that. They're all different. They all have different ingress, egress, all kinds of different things like that. And then all the policies the individual states had in terms of how to deal with the COVID-19, you know, this state might allow X and other states might allow. Why? They had to figure all that out, and now they're starting to expand a little bit into some travel, going to Homestead after we visit Martinsville, so that they can expand it out a little bit. But I just can't help but think that they're using some of this to learn from, and that's what they've been doing all along. Keep in mind, when NASCAR started this, all eyes were on them, and all the other sports now, I'm talking football, basketball, baseball, all the other big major sports sent representatives either to Darlington or to talk to NASCAR after it and talk about how it went as they get set to implement their own plans. Ryan McGee from ESPN had a fantastic article on this recently talking about how all the other sports were scrutinizing what NASCAR did. They were the guinea pig.
Yes.
If they flopped, then the other sports would know what not to do. And if they did it right, other sports could take that and learn from it and grow and apply it to their own sport. So I think that is continually going on and will until we start having more and more fans back in the stands. And many of the tracks, even in this new batch of scheduling information that NASCAR has released, have already said, we're not going to have fans, you know, based on what their state is allowing and able to do.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's, man, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think we'd be talking about not letting people into the, you know, stands, you know, concerts, sporting events. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a new era. You know, we're not going to be talking about selling out things because we're not going to be able to sell things out at this point in time. So
right, and even think about this. Say for the sake of the discussion, tomorrow. They say, okay, all this stuff is back on again. You can go to whatever event you want. You can go to races or concerts or ball games or whatever you want. How long is it going to be before people are comfortable being around crowds again?
Absolutely, 100%.
Even if they allow it, people may not flock back, at least not right away, until they kind of can dip their toe in the water a little bit. Another consideration is, you can social distance people if you limit capacity to 25% or whatever, like they do at some restaurants now in certain areas. But somebody's got to be at the gatekeeper, you know, where everybody has to come by. What about that person?
Yep.
You know, you got to make sure they're protected as well. NASCAR has done a fantastic job of being careful and being thorough with it. But, man, there are always more challenges around the corner, and they'll just have to stay on top of it as they go.
Absolutely. So, hey, at least we get to sit on the couch and watch it on the weekend.
Yeah, that's we got something going for us, right?
Yes. Kevin Harvick picks up win number two post-pandemic break, win number 51 at a track that is near and dear to his heart. Obviously, his first victory taken over for senior. He did an amazing salute there post-race. Kevin Harvick, veteran driver, not letting up off that gas pedal right now, is he?
No, he's really not. And even in the races that he didn't win, he's had really good speed. He and Rodney Childers, his crew chief, are just such a great match because, you know, the old saying about opposites attract, you know, Kevin's kind of up on the chip a little bit. And Kevin Harvick told me one time that if Rodney was any more laid back, he'd be asleep or dead. That's just how he is. He's just always the same. If Rodney ran in to tell you that the house was on fire, you might not be alarmed enough to leave. He's just calm, even keel, and you kind of need that yin and yang to make the match work, and that's what they've been able to put together over the years, and that's why they click so well together. But he's leading the standing, so it's hard to argue with that. Even when he hasn't won, he's been very fast.
Absolutely. Woody, we're almost halfway through the regular season, as crazy as that kind of sounds. We've seen over the years how valuable playoff points are. You know, we've seen them carry Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick to the Final Four. Six drivers, though, currently are within three playoff points of each other. I said it last week on the show. I want your take. I think this year's round of eight at Kansas, Texas, Martinsville will be some of the most competitive racing that we've seen in the sport in a very long time, just based on the probability of who's going to be there, and only four get to make it to Phoenix.
Yeah, I think so too. And the key is you got to remember some of these younger guys are going to be a little more eager than some of the veterans who know you got to be there at the end. They all do, granted, but you're going to see a little bit of that move where some of the guys are unable to bottle up that enthusiasm and let it out at the proper time. They'll get a little too eager maybe and knock themselves out of it. You know, I always thought of the earlier rounds in the playoffs, so sort of like the NCAA tournament, survive in advance. You don't have to go out and win every race. You just kind of stay there and let other guys knock themselves out. And then it gets harder to do that the further you would go. So I think that the round you're talking about is going to be really challenging to get through that. Because keep in mind, I think this may be one of those years, you know, we always talked about, would we have more than 16 eligible teams or 16, I don't know, for lack of a better phrase, worthy teams. I think we may see that this year, because just outside the top 16 in points, William Byron's having a really good year. He finished second at Martinsville last time we were there. Tyler Reddick really having a good rookie season. Ricky Stenhouse is coming on. John Hunter Nemechek, Chris Buescher. You got a lot of guys just barely on the outside looking in that I think could make a run at getting one of those playoff spots.
Absolutely. I tell you, Woody, one of my most guilty desired pleasures is for 17 winners at a NASCAR season, just so that one winner doesn't make it. Because, you know, it's something that just has become like nomenclature in the vernacular of talk, is that, oh, you win and you're in. Mathematically, that ain't the case at Daytona, but it ends up being the case just because the odds of 17 different winners is so unlikely in the sport. But man, I wish that could happen just once.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun? Yes. I can remember back in the day just wishing, you know, this was back in the days when we the final race was at Atlanta, just wishing we'd get to Atlanta and have three, four, five guys with a legitimate shot at the championship instead of it being all wrapped up.
Yep.
Now we get that every year. It's not Homestead anymore. It'll be Phoenix now, but still, that's what you need. That's what that Game 7 moment is all about, and I think that's what the sport is needed. There are traditionalists, and I get it, who don't like that style, but man, I always wanted to get down to that last race and not have it all wrapped up already.
100%. I'm with you. All right, we'll wrap it up with this. NASCAR announced 2021 schedule is going to be headed to Nashville Speedway. I think we all knew at some point we might be getting something in Nashville. You know, they host the awards. They got to get a race. You know, obviously, again, social media kind of did its own thing in terms of people being happy and disappointed with the track that they were going to. But regardless of that, to me, it shows that NASCAR is willing to take some swing for the fences with their ability to have a little bit more control over the schedule going forward.
I think part of that, though, was Dover being concerned that they might lose a date when NASCAR, you know, kind of put off announcing their 2021 schedule when they were trying to figure out how they were going to make 2020 work. So that was probably a preemptive move on their part, at least somewhat.
Sure.
I'm sure NASCAR was involved in those discussions. But yeah, maybe this is a way to put a little heat on the fairgrounds people to in Nashville to kind of get their act together and figure out what they want to do, because I think that's where ultimately they would like to go, NASCAR, I mean.
Absolutely.
But the factions there can't seem to get their act together long enough to make anything like that happen. It's like, you know, you go on a long trip and you got your two little kids in the back seat of the car going, he's touching me, make him stop touching me. They're doing that all the way, and they can't stop long enough to figure it out, to work this out. They could get a cup race there, or at least, you know, a truck or Xfinity race to start if they could just get on the same page. But so far, they haven't been able to do that. Maybe this will put a little heat on them. Remember, when we were racing at Nashville Super Speedway, it was kind of like Kansas in the early days in that it was out way in the middle of nowhere by itself. Now look at how that area around Kansas is. The area around Nashville Super Speedway has grown up quite a bit as well, even though there weren't races at the track. So maybe it's going to be a whole different dynamic when we go back next year.
Absolutely. I love it. Woody, where can everybody follow you out on social media, and where can they find the podcast and keep up with everything that MRN is doing?
At WY Kane is Twitter. I'm Woody Kane on Instagram. And getting set for NASCAR today, every day. That's our news show. It's on 350 stations around the country, weekdays, every day, our daily news show. Co-host, or not co-host anymore, I'm hosting solo right now, the pre-race show for all of our cup events. And you can keep up with the podcast, MRN Out Loud, at MRN.com. It's on YouTube, Spotify, all the places, wherever fine podcasts are sold, you can get it there. Going to have Brad Keselowski, a sit down with Brad this week. Got about 15 minutes with Brad talking about a variety of subjects, and not necessarily the boys back at the shop are working real hard, that type of stuff. Excellent. A lot of stuff you might not ordinarily hear from Brad.
That's awesome. Man, Woody, this was awesome. I absolutely enjoyed this. Would love to do it again soon, brother. Have fun. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of the season. Thanks so much for coming on the show tonight, man.
You bet. Catch you soon.
Awesome. Take care. Lap Traffic Nation, how awesome is Woody Kane? I love the friendship that the Lap Traffic Podcast has developed with MRN as of late. Everybody has heard Jeff Striegel on here a bunch of times. Absolutely love Jeff. Alex Hayden a couple weeks ago, and now Woody Kane. That's so cool. Why would you not want to talk to these guys? Great perspectives. They're in the trenches week in, week out, and just they're so cool to talk to, and they bring so much to the table. Absolutely incredible. So thanks to Woody for calling in, and can't wait to talk to him again soon. And all right, we got lots to talk about from this weekend at Atlanta. All right, let's start with the truck series. First off, I got to say how cool I think it is that Chase donated some of the bounty money to Kyle and Samantha's foundation. I think this goes to show that while they may maybe not like each other so much on the track at the moment, there is definitely a level of respect there. Such a classy move. Great for the drivers, great for the charities, great for NASCAR, great for the fans. It's no negative about anything right there. You know, this past weekend's truck race at Atlanta seemed to be over in a blink of an eye. Absolutely awesome. You had Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott back out there in the trucks again. Obviously, one of those two were the odds on favorite to win, right? And they both have issues and finished 20th and 21st. We've all talked about what it means to say you win a race in any series, but when you win in an Xfinity or truck race with the likes of Kyle Busch on the field and you get the win, I can only imagine as a driver you get a little extra swagger with that, for sure. That said, the finish saw some lap traffic alums at Austin Hill and Grant Infinger going at it. It looked like Austin was going to pull this thing off. Late caution put a kibosh to that. One hell of an exciting restart that saw Austin and Infinger back and forth, but with Grant picking up win number two on the season. You guys know I'm a big fan of Grant Infinger. He's a great guy, always a pleasure to talk to, as is Austin Hill. But the thing with Grant and why I was so happy for him with this one is when you look at how things ended last year for Thor Sport, and especially this 98 team. You know, Grant goes out there, wins the regular season, didn't have a race win, had a few slip away, you know, out in the first round with the truck playoffs, even with his 15 bonus points or however many he got for being the regular series winner there. And to get knocked out, you know, what was obviously a bummer for that team. And to already have two wins through four truck races is pretty cool. He's the only truck regular with a win at this point, and he's got two of them. It's crazy to put that into perspective that we're in the middle of June and we've only had four truck races. I don't think I can complain anymore about the 4 to 5 off weeks that we sometimes get with the truck season. Especially because of this pandemic thing. So I'm happy to have I'll deal with the off weeks going forward after this nonsense. So excited that the trucks are going to be back this Saturday at Homestead. The Xfinity Series, I'm going to save that here until after I talk about the Cup, because I think AJ Allmendinger is going to do a lot better job talking about it than I will. So let's recap and talk a little bit about the Cup race at Atlanta. Much improved this week in terms of the number of cautions. You know, only had 5 cautions. You know, it's not equal comparison because we went from Bristol to Atlanta. But I was glad we didn't waste 20% of the race again this weekend as compared to last week at Bristol. I said it on Twitter Sunday that there are going to be people that think this Atlanta race did not deliver. And I just want to kind of offer some reasons on why I think people are going to say that. Offer some reasons maybe to maybe think against saying it wasn't as good of a race. You know, I don't want to say not as good, but why people maybe think it didn't deliver. I think people are going to look and say Kevin Harvick leading over half the race, picking up the win and using that as their decision, which I 100% get. You know, if it wasn't your driver that won, I think that obviously plays a role in whether or not people think it was a good race or not. I totally get that. I also think people might say tires didn't matter as much as they usually do at Atlanta. And I would just say in regards to that, you know, we raced this track 3 months later in the year than we usually do. I think the warmer weather played a little bit of a significant role, but that didn't mean tires did not matter. You know, the fact that we had a competition caution and the team still split the stage one up after that competition caution when they didn't need to from a fuel perspective. Just shows you how much tires matter there. To the other point, you know, if you want to tell me the year, for example, that Martin Truex Jr. won the 600, leading 392 of 400 laps, that race wasn't exciting. I'll buy into that theory a little bit. But this weekend at Atlanta, we had 21 lead changes with 9 different drivers. And I get that's more of a pen and paper stat, but 5 of those drivers led double-digit laps. There was a point in Stage 3, depending on how they pitted, depending on cautions, it wasn't a sealed victory. And to me personally, I used that in my thought process that if I thought the race was decent or not. I think PETM said it best, you know, they all aren't going to be barn burners. Not every football game is great. Not every basketball game is great. Was Sunday great? Maybe not, but it definitely was not the worst race I've seen in Atlanta. And I think a little slack is warranted right now. That's all I'm going to say there. Harvick picked up win number 2 on the season, win number 51 of his career. I thought it was great that Bowyer also had a Busch Beer sponsor this week honoring the farming industry. During the broadcast, they called them the other Busch brothers. I thought that was hysterical. You know, listen, certain drivers have certain tracks. Harvick, Phoenix, Atlanta, maybe Texas, and hell, maybe even MIS as of late. You know, Jimmy's is Auto Club Martinsville. Denny's Martinsville Daytona as of late. You know, Martin Truex and Kyle Busch, give them any mile and a half. Some of these guys just have that bread and butter, and that is what it is, and that's what happened this weekend with Kevin Harvick in Atlanta. It's just one of those bread and butter tracks, which also I think you could tie that back to what I was saying a little bit ago about the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, where if you go out there and beat Kyle Busch in one of those series, you get that little extra swagger. And I think, you know, if you're able to go out and win at one of these tracks, that's another driver's bread and butter track that gives you a little extra swagger too. So if someone would have been able to win other than Harvick, you know, that might have, you know, added a little more oomph, if you will, to their swagger there. I love the Harvicking thing. I think that's absolutely hysterical. Harvick does have a pretty nice, sizable lead right now, 48 points. Going Wednesday into Martinsville, not his best track, even though he does have a win there. Curious to see how that plays out. Obviously, looking forward to Chase Elliott Wednesday night. Definitely looking to maybe do a little damage there. You know, Kyle Busch is pretty good there. Denny Hamlin's pretty good there. Jimmy Johnson's pretty good there. Wednesday night, shorter track at Martinsville. Man, I hope we get this thing in for sure. All right. Before I get to AJ Allmendinger, I posed to you guys a question regarding what a track should take into account when deciding to repave or not. Fred at NASCARitis, don't think all repave should consider a reconfiguration, but all should take into account the degree of banking on the apron. If that track doesn't have an out-of-bounds rule by NASCAR, then consider less of a transition. So it's an option for drivers for passing. I like that there. NASCAR fandom at Fandom NASCAR. The drivers don't want to repave, so I don't think it should be. No repave, no reconfigure. My question is, why, when a race isn't close, do we assume it's the track? The cars are aero-sensitive. Yes, the cars are so aero-sensitive. I think we, you know, at some point in time over the last 15 years, we were going close to 200 miles an hour at Atlanta, and I think PETM said they were down to 177 or something like that. Yeah, the aero, the rules package obviously plays a role here. Kansian at Racing Cans. Let's pave half the track and leave the other half old and worn out. Salem did it. Man, wouldn't that be crazy? Let half the track get repaved, you know, race it like that. Let that track half get worn out and then do the other one. Man, that'd be cool. Joey at Joey_CLT in response to Kantz. That's an interesting idea. Maybe just the restart zone and the quad oval to even out the lanes and restarts. Not sure about turns 1 and 2. This could have been a killer race if there was a late caution or two. I say leave it and see how the new car races. I like that. You know, we know we're going to get a change. Let's see what the new package brings at these mile and a half tracks before we go maybe repaving and reconfiguring. And Vault Boy at Section 9 OI4. I think that's between the track and the collective opinion of everyone who races on it. Yeah, you got to take the driver's response into account. They're the ones that are going out there. They're the ones that know how, you know, it's going to race competitive for sure. You know, my takeaway pretty much is kind of split across everything that came in there in terms of, you know, we want tire wear to matter. The tires that they bring are so hard. You got mile and a half, you're 2 mile, you know, mile and a half, mile and a half. It's like Michigan. Michigan's been repaved, got close to 10, if not over 10 years now. And there's just no fall off. You know, so until we can start getting and creating a way that we can get more tire fall off with some of these repaves and reconfigurations, if we can run it, let's just stick to where we're at. Sunday, Homestead. Looking forward to that. That's for sure. But I'm also looking very forward to hopefully what will be a Wednesday night race at Martinsville. All right. Let's get Mr. AJ. Oh, I'm so excited. The Dinger on the Lap Traffic Podcast. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver, the number 16 with Colic Racing, and he is the winner of this past weekend's Echo Park 250 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Welcome to the show, AJ Allmendinger. AJ, what's up, man? How are you?
We're doing well, man. Excellent. Just as we speak right now, got done celebrating with the race team. But as we know in this sport, don't have a lot of time to celebrate. You enjoy it, and the race team is getting ready to go to Homestead this weekend. I'll be racing on the Sunday race in the Dash for Cash. Me and my teammate Justin Haley are two of four drivers that can go win of $100,000 courtesy of Xfinity. So yeah, getting ready, but definitely taking a little bit of time to enjoy.
That's all, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, like you don't get to let that soak in for very long before it's like, all right, you know, change gears and where are we going? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of the sport, right? It's good and bad because you do well and can't wait to get back to the racetrack. And if you don't do well, well, you got to race the next weekend most of the time. So, you know, with this pandemic, it's been crazy. So, obviously, everything's condensed now and a lot more races in a shorter period of time. The way the weekends work, really, just show up and race. No practice. And Colic Racing, I feel like, has really been fantastic about unloading the race cars and having the ride heights and everything set perfectly. And at least the last two races that I've done, Bristol and Atlanta, cars have been fast. And not just myself, but all three of us. Justin Haley finished third at Atlanta. Ross Chastain, he ran second and third in the stages, got a little bit too loose in the last stage and finished seventh, and honestly was pretty disappointed with that. So when you finish seventh in the Xfinity series and are really disappointed with that, that's a pretty good sign that the team is moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a top 10 for all three drivers. You know, when you've got guys out there like Kyle Busch running on the track, right? You know, I think the joke, so to speak, now is if you're able to win as an Xfinity regular with him on the track, that almost adds extra notoriety to your win from that point. So for all three of you guys to finish in the top 10, absolutely awesome. I absolutely love watching this team. I've done and had Ross has been on the show a couple times. Justin's been on the show. So happy to have you on the show. And it's been so fun to watch Colic over these last couple seasons. I feel like, you know, they're starting to become that household name with the SHRs and the Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity series. Talk a little bit about, you know, your involvement with the team. It's awesome to see the help that you're able to provide them. There's such a great dynamic around Colic Racing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I joined the team kind of mid-season last year. I think we did, top of my head, five races, the Daytona and the Ford road course races. So the plan earlier this year was to kind of do the same thing, run all three super speedway races and run which turned into five road course races now that Roger Penske and NASCAR, they have switched Indy to the road course. So we were going to run eight races, and the original plan actually was to run Martinsville as well, because I love Martinsville. It's the first year in a long time that Xfinity has been at Martinsville. Maybe ever, actually. I'm not sure. It's been a long time. It hasn't been since I,
at least.
Yeah, it's been a lot longer than I've been in NASCAR. Let's put it that way. But I wanted to run Martinsville. I just wanted to run a non super speedway oval. But with that said, Martinsville is the second last race of the season. So at that point, really, we hope that Colic Racing has two cars going to Phoenix as the final four. So that kind of got put on the back burner. And when we missed Daytona, didn't qualify for the race, we had a mechanical failure in qualifying, and our car not having any points, the 16 team, we didn't make the race. So Matt Collick, being the generous guy that he is, and Chris Rice said, hey, pick an oval. You pick whatever you want. Let's go to it, and we'll run that race to make up for it. And, you know, I told him, I said, hey, you don't have to worry about it. You guys take plenty good care of me. And they said, no, we got to make this up. So the original plan was Bristol, and pandemic happened, and we still stayed on the schedule with Bristol, and Atlanta came up, and they offered me to race, and thank goodness get my first oval win. Yeah, I mean, so the long answer to this is this team's only 5 years old, and in this day and age, we want everything now, right? Yep. Like, we've got to have it now. You just don't get success like that in NASCAR. There's no teams that just show up and have immediate success. So I really think over the last two seasons, and it started with Justin Haley when he showed up, and I don't mean to say this any disrespect to the previous drivers, but Justin Haley stepped the program up, and then Ross ran some races, and that really kind of got it going in the right direction. And I got the road course package a little bit better, but this year Colic Racing has really stepped out, and I just feel like building fast race cars. They got in-house engineers for the first time ever with this race team. So Matt Colic and Chris Rice are doing everything they can to make this team a success. And it's happening.
It's so fun to watch such a young team develop so quickly and doing it the right way too. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch that success, because you can just see the excitement with everybody. The crews, the drivers, the owners, you see them on the track. It's really just been a lot of fun to watch, which is just incredible. Speaking of your first oval win there, you did a video that the team posted out on social media yesterday. You know, for years, you know, we watch guys like Marcus Ambrose, Juan Pablo Montoya try to grab that first oval win. You got it done, man, but you seemed almost just as happy for that team, which is kind of, you know, what you just mentioned there a little bit ago, that dynamic there. But how special was that for you just to get that one, you know, check mark off that box there?
Well, it's special to me. It's when you show up in NASCAR and it's predominantly all ovals. I mean, that's what, as a driver, you're expected to do, is go out there and win. And, you know, in Cup, I had several opportunities that just, it didn't work out. Sure. It was close. I mean, Martinsville so many times, Dover, when I was with Petty Motorsports, we were really fast there. And it just, heck, one time I was leading by 8 seconds and got a flat tire. We blew up leading the race. I mean, it just never happened. And, you know, I was somewhat emotional after the race, just excited and emotional inside, because two things. It was, I just wanted to win on an oval and prove it to myself. And more importantly, I just want to keep giving back to Matt Colic and the whole organization for giving me these opportunities to go out and drive their race cars and try to make this team better. And I put so much pressure on myself, especially with a guy like Matt Colic, because, I mean, he doesn't have to put me in his car. He's got two fantastic drivers.
Sure.
And that third car, they specifically just really do it for me. And the best way to pay him back is go out there and win races. And we won the Roval last year, and that's, you know, why I showed up. That's what they expected me to do. And we made the program better and got the car right for the Roval, and we won. But I wanted to do it on an oval, and that's what I told them. Absolutely. I said, and don't get me wrong, we go to Talladega in a couple weeks and we win, I'm not going to turn it down. But I wanted to win on an oval that wasn't a little bit of luck and drafting. I wanted to win on an oval that you had to manhandle a race car. I can't believe it happened.
That's awesome. You mentioned at the start here, you know, in terms of like kind of showing up, no practice, all that. Is that extra challenging for you since, you know, you're not doing it week in, week out now? You know, what's your take on the no practice, no qualifying? Do you like it? Is it adding to the level of competition out there? Do you want to see practice come back once things get back to normal?
Well, if you're asking me from Saturday, no, I don't want practice to come back.
You know, it's strange. It definitely is nerve-wracking for me going into to each race, because I've never, even though I've been at these racetracks, an Xfinity car is different than a Cup car.
Sure.
And I haven't driven at any of these racetracks besides the road courses in over 2 years, really. So, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, and I'm nervous before the race, not knowing what I'm going to go out there and feel and kind of having to learn on the fly. But I will say, college racing, I mean, the work that the engineers are putting in to get this stuff right when we unload, just comparing it to Bristol, the first race that I ran with the team, and now Atlanta, I mean, these cars are fast, and the engineers and crew chiefs are doing an amazing job. I don't want to say guessing, because they're putting the work in and working at all the sim and everything, but I mean, they are making the right adjustments and right settings to start with. And that's what you have to do when you have no practice and really only have maybe 3-4 pit stops at most during the race to try to adjust on the car. So for how competitive that these race cars have been the last couple of weeks, no, I don't really want practice to come back.
Fair enough. I got it. Hey, so talk about for a minute here, what it was like, you know, showing up at the track with an empty infield, you know, no fans in the garage, you know, no fans partying, the empty grandstands at the end, you know, could you tell while you were racing, and how impactful was it not having fans there pre and post race?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, once you get in the car, you don't really notice it. You can kind of look up there under yellow and yeah, it looks a little weird. But yeah, it's definitely strange. Like getting into the racetrack and it's quiet and you just look around, there's nothing going on.
Test day or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, heck, most tire test days, you'd have people, either the grandstands would be open and people would show up and watch, or heck, maybe have a couple people sneak in. But yeah, it's we want the fans back. We want them. We need them. This is what makes the sport thrive. We're happy looking at the TV ratings that they're at least watching, and more people are maybe getting a taste of NASCAR that have never seen it before. So, I mean, that's the one positive take out of it. But yeah, it's before the race is strange. And then now I know how Kevin Harvick felt when he got out of the car at Darlington for the first time. It was right. Like, you get out and you're just like, hey, nobody's here. Weird. And yeah. I will say at least in Victory Lane, when I pulled in and jumped out, they have like TV screens, almost like if you watch the NFL draft, when Goodell would announce the next pick and they would have the fans in the screens behind them from that specific team. They, at least NASCAR had that at Atlanta. I don't know if like that at every race, but Atlanta they did, where they had some fans watching. So at least I got a little cheer when I got out of the car, but it is weird for sure.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you started at the back, you worked your way to the front. And as you mentioned, because you're not going to run the first race, you're going to run the second race for the Dash for Cash. You're going to have to do that all over again, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, it's working. Why change it up? So, we're going to have to start at the back. The good thing is we'll have two fast colleague Chevys on Saturday with Justin Haley and Ross Chastain. I hope one of them wins it. They deserve it for sure. Both of them been so close this year, and hopefully just getting that first one for the team, the floodgates open up. But I'll be able to, although I won't be there, I was planning on at least flying with the team and being there, but I completely forgot till I was told I'm not allowed at the track on Saturday.
With
the way this works, I'm not on the roster Saturday, can't get in the track, even though I got a hard card and I'm a driver. So I'll be watching at home on TV and trying to study and learn as much as I can. And hopefully they have a great race. And we learn a lot with the setups of the race cars, and we can take that into Sunday. And from there, it's just about doing the same thing that I've done the last two races, go out there and try to get a good feel, and the benefit of not racing for points is I can take those first two stages and really just take my time and learn, okay, what's the car want? What's this track doing? Get used to the racetrack and not have to like feel like I got to go out there and push early to try to get stage points.
Absolutely.
Of course, you want to get up there for for track position, but I can kind of work my way up there, and which is what I did at Atlanta. So we'll try to do the same thing again on Sunday.
Awesome. All right, last one for you, real quick. Just talk about the broadcast side of things. That transition for you, was it weird? Like, you know, calling it and you know, picking apart the races, wanting to be out there on the track. You know, is it more relaxed environment for you? You know, talk a little bit about the transition over to the broadcast side of things.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate with NBC Sports to allow me to, what I call, just be a race fan and talk about it, because that's truly what I am. I'm a fan of motorsports, and I'm a fan of all forms of motorsports. So it allows me just to kind of fanboy it and watch it live and talk about it as it's going on. And specifically to the, well, really anything that I did last year, I was very fortunate that there's just great people that I can bounce off of. So I'm nervous before doing them, and it's different than talking about it or doing interviews like this and then having to call it live on TV.
Sure.
And not just sound completely off when you're doing it. But with the IMSA side of it, Lee Diffie and Calvin Fish that have, I mean, just so many years, and they're so talented. So I could just be myself, and they just said, be you, talk about what you see, et cetera, do all that. You don't have to worry about the right rear tire changer's name, et cetera, things right. like that. So it's been a lot of fun. And then I got to go do Supercross. So I got to work with the GOAT, Ricky Carmichael and Ralph Shaheen. So I have a lot of great people around me when I do these shows, and it makes it a lot of fun. Sure, there's times I miss it. I'm like, I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I want to be out there. But the racing's so good, I get excited about talking about it as well. So I always feel like I can keep improving on that, just like being in a race car. But so fortunate that NBC Sports gave me that opportunity as well. And because of that, they allowed me to come do these races, and knowing that by me racing, I'm better on camera talking about it. So kind of the best of both worlds right now.
That's awesome. That is so cool. AJ, where can everybody follow you at and keep up with you on social media?
I'm on Twitter, so at AJ Dinger. You'll see a lot of pictures of my family, which is my wife, Tara, and more importantly, the children, my cat, Mr. Tickles, that is very famous now, and our new addition over the last 2 months, a French bulldog named Zena.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That's at AJ Dinger. And
awesome.
Obviously on College Racing, all of their social media as we're racing, and they do such a great job keeping the fans updated and involving the fans. So catch me there.
That's awesome. AJ, man, thank you so much for taking some time out to call on the show. It was an honor to have you on. Look forward to watching you this weekend to go win that Dash for Cash. Hope you and the family stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck the rest of the season, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Lap Traffic Nation, how cool. AJ Allmendinger, cannot believe that the Dinger was just on the Lap Traffic podcast. So cool. So awesome to talk to him. Great perspective on what it's like racing without fans there. I've been wanting to talk to somebody that's, you know, post-pandemic in terms of what it was like without the fans and all that crazy nonsense there. But hey, at least we're starting. They're going to have some fans at the track this weekend and next. That, man, if that's not a step in the right direction so that we can start getting back to our tracks, man, that's awesome. All right, let's get to a little social media, shall we? All right. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, all those, wherever you want to listen. You can find the show because you've obviously found it already, but hit that subscribe button, leave a review, much appreciated. Inching closer and closer to the giveaways. I think less than 140 to go for the t-shirt and hat. Got the quarter panel giveaway at 5,000. So let's, I mailed a ton of koozies and stickers out. They went in the mail, I think Wednesday or Thursday last week. Some people I know have already gotten them. I've gotten some tweets. So And I just put a couple of new ones in the mail today. I've ordered new koozies. Those will be here this week. So I'm restocked. I'm ready to go. Keep those requests coming. If you want a Lap Traffic koozie, I will be happy to send one out to you for free. There's T-shirts, all that good stuff on the website. If you really love the show and you want to, let everyone know who to listen to. You can sport a Lap Traffic T-shirt. Tons of designs are out there. Go check the website out, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. All right, shameless plugs are over. Over to some new follower shout-outs. Mike at MWM_racing, big NASCAR and MIS fan. Hell yeah, Michigan. Michael at RacingDude_08X from Wisconsin. Big fan of Jordan Anderson, Ryan Sieg, Ross Chastain. Love those guys. Chad at FastBud88 from Kazoo, Michigan. NASCAR and Corvette guy. Love the Michigan follows here. That's absolutely awesome. All right. That's going to do it for social media. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line and see how wet it's going to be this week. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us up to date on all the weather or non-weather related happenings. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Doing all right. I got to give a shout out again. I know you mentioned Aaron, but Aaron kind of, life happens, believe it or not. A buddy of mine from Idaho came in to visit this past weekend, so I wasn't all in NASCAR mode. I mean, he's not a NASCAR fan, so he's not he's got things he wants to do, and he's not really going to say, yeah, I'll give you 3 hours to just, watch radar and a NASCAR race and stuff like that. So I kind of missed this week's race.
Hey, nothing wrong with Atlanta. That. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, it's not easy to commit to all that, 24/7, especially when it isn't your real job. So that is
or a job or anymore. A job. Let's just be clear. For me, I need to make a couple of things clear. Number one, it's not a job for me, but the Patreon stuff does go and help Aaron out. So while I help him and I hope people encourage people to get some of that inside information, which I contribute in some ways through talking with him, please help him out. But I'm no longer a part of that just due to circumstances with the job that I have today. So just want to make sure that's clear, but definitely go check it out. And Aaron puts a lot of really cool stuff there.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He puts a lot of effort.
I mean, I have, to, awesome. I have to pay for it. So, no, I still have access, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So it sounds like you had a good weekend. The weather up here was nice. Finally, thank you for, blessing Michigan and Metro Detroit specifically with 3 days of awesome weather.
That's just you got lucky.
I'm still waiting for my fat head in the mail.
I didn't send you one. I just said you need to get one.
I know. Well, I thought maybe one would just stowed upon itself on my doorstep at some point in time.
Wow, you don't know me that well.
Oh, that's funny. Well, hey, man, you didn't get to take in much racing, but Kevin Harvick winning. Everyone's got thoughts on that. What do you think of Kevin Harvick picking up another win here post-pandemic?
I think it's good. I don't know. Do we want parity? Do we not? I like good stories. I mean, I like what he's done. I mean, obviously, it's a distraction, but, unfortunately, I did follow along a little bit about with Twitter, so I'm going to hit on a couple of highlights. Obviously, the thing that big thing that stood out by most fans and even some of the writers was the pre-race stuff with, the civil unrest and everything going on, and NASCAR's contribution to, making light, and doing their part, if you will. That's one aspect. I mean, I didn't hear much about the race, but overall, it's been Keselowski, it's been Harvick. I mean, if you're a fan, you want those guys. You want your guys to do well. And it sounds like there's still guys out there who are challenging. So it's not completely, running away some of the same names, some of the same manufacturers in some regards. So there's something, I think, going on. And, I mean, at this point, I still, because of the fact that some of the bigger sports, not saying NASCAR is not a big sport, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Aren't out there yet. It's still nice to have that.
Absolutely. No, when you mentioned parity there, I agree because You know, there's been multiple lead changes, and I get that's only one facet of the statistics that anybody can analyze and can say that means something or doesn't mean something. But I think the racing on track up front, even with this package, while not great, has been better than expected post-return to racing here. So knowing that we're going to get this rules package again for another year before the new car comes out, you know, it's a shame that the speeds are so much slower and all of that, but, you know, it's not as horrible as some might have expected.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Watching, I'm not sitting here going, boy, they look a lot slower. I can't really tell. And maybe that's just, you know, maybe I'm not as educated as the average NASCAR fan to detect how fast or not fast they're going. But I think it's still, I mean, it's not that long ago that we are grateful for what happened and how Ryan Newman recovered. You know, I mean, I think we want our drivers around for some time.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree with you more there. Absolutely, we do. All right, let's get into a little weather this week, and then we can have a little fantasy fun here. How are things looking for tomorrow night at Martinsville?
Well, remember Darlington and Charlotte?
That good, eh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Aaron sends me a text and, like, and on Twitter, it's like, yeah, we're going to be busy. And the other downside is I'm going to be at work, so I'm probably – it's going to be just all Aaron. I'll see what I can do. But
you're going to be busy.
Well, I'll be busy for – he'll be busy. I'll be busy for different things. This is the way my schedule works. Yeah, these Wednesday things, I typically get – you know, so I mean, we're going to have to be watching the radar for those isolated, scattered clusters of showers and thunderstorms. And, again, you can get them go by and not hit, or you can get one and it's going to hit and stay for a while. So there's no, I'd say I'm going to go, and I caveat this by saying, you know, it's going to come down to how long a range. There's a lot of variables that we can't necessarily get a hold of until we get closer to the event or we start seeing rain on radar. So I'm going to keep the odds of racing above 50%. Let's go 60% odds of racing because, again, we don't know where storms or showers will pop up. And we'll know more. I know we're close as it is, but we really won't know more until the day of. And then even in the hours leading up to it. So it's just one of those days where we're just going to have to monitor like we did with Charlotte and Darlington.
Excellent. Excellent. And I know it's early, but how is the early outlook for this weekend at Homestead looking?
June Florida weather.
Not much else needs to be said for that, does it?
No, I mean, it's chance of showers, thunderstorms every afternoon, partly sunny skies, warm, hot. You want to look at it. It's Florida in the summertime, down around Miami.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, man. We'll end it with this. Lap traffic weatherman head-to-head battle. It is a 3-3 tie right now between you and Mr. Aaron Studwell. You were leading. It's held true that who's ever been on the week before wins that week. And right now, Aaron was on last week, and he's currently leading with one more race to go for this week. So it looks like it might be 4-3, but odds are you're probably going to even it up this week at Homestead. So something's got to give here eventually.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously Martinsville doesn't count for only counts for his week on.
Right, yes, yes.
But let's just be clear. Because, you know, well, that's nice. And if he comes away with the win, good for him. But where do we stand in points, Brandon?
I believe that you may be out in front from the overall points perspective.
10 spots. At least the last update I saw, I was up 10 spots.
Let's see here. Brian.
I was just outside of the top 20.
Yes, you are in 21st with 629, and Aaron Studwell is in 32nd with 582.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the season, when we crown an NASCAR champion, it comes down to points, my friend.
I love this smack talk. I absolutely love it. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, you're
I mean, yeah, the head-to-head, that's I mean, does Kyle Busch get credit for winning a truck race in the Cup Series?
Right.
No.
No. No. Ooh, laying the smack down. I absolutely, absolutely love it. All right, sir. Wow.
Well, I'm just saying. When you kept saying we're head to head, I finally decided to catch up and do some research. And I'm thinking, okay, we had to be neck and neck. And yeah. And I'm looking and I'm like neck and I'm like, how is this that, you know, we're tied up? I'm like, we're not tied in points.
No, not in points. Nope. Just weekly wins, losses. The wins and losses column.
Or best average finish.
Yes. That's good. I love it. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at @NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell at Race Weather. Sir, thanks for calling in this week, and enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully get to catch Martinsville a little bit at least, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, at least there's no snow.
That's true. Good call. Good point. Good point. Yes.
But then again, you live in Michigan, so it can snow tomorrow.
It's, hey, I wouldn't count it out, man, at all. All right, man, we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll see ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Brian Newdorf. Make sure you follow and subscribe to Brian and Aaron. But right now, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill. Make sure you send your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks after the checkered flag, or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I will play them back on the show. My Lucky Dog, Kevin Harvick and NASCAR 100%. My Lap Down, I'm going to kind of cheat here a little bit. My Lap Down is the potential future weather issues that may impact our Wednesday night race tomorrow. Let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog, Truck Addiction. Grant Enfinger, late race caution favored the short run truck. Lap Down, Crafton, pit road crash of all places. Scott's Xfinity Edition. I love that you send one for all of these. That's absolutely awesome. Scott's Lucky Dog is AJ out of nowhere. Lap Down, Ryan Sieg, trouble early. And Scott Sunday's edition, Lucky Dog, Kurt Busch, one lap down on lap two, worked his way steadily all race. Yes, he did. Sixth place. That is unbelievable. That just shows that you can just chip away at this thing sometimes. And with only five cautions to boot, too. That's absolutely incredible. And let's see, Scott's lap down for Sunday, sadly, goes to Bowyer. Fast car, you know, if not for the right rear tire that couldn't keep up. Yes, it was not the little engine that could it? CJ at CJ LaPearl's Lucky Dog, Kurt Busch starts dead last, paths through, manages P6. Lap down for CJ Bowyer, top five, car couldn't keep the right rear on it. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, a Lucky Dog is Harvick. He is king at Atlanta. Pretty hard to believe it's only his third win at the track, considering as how dominant he's been there. Yeah, it's a good call there. Lap down, the racing product wasn't the best at Atlanta. The package doesn't work with the best track that has tire wear. 100%. Yes, you could really just let the track and tires do its thing. We don't need that rules package there, but I digress. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, Lucky Dog, the four car of Kevin Harvick, showing what Harvicking is really about. Lap down, Clint Bowyer, finishing in the middle of the field after running up front all day. Eddie at Eddie_EG3's Lucky Dog, Harvick, the duo of Childers and Harvick continue to rule AMS. Lap down, Bowyer, seems like he can't catch a break every time he's got a good car. Yes, the bad luck, the bad juju of the iRacing series is following him back post-pandemic here. Eric Sauter, the Lucky Dog, AJ winning his Xfinity race. And finally, a red flag free cup race. Lap down, not much of an exciting race, and Bowyer having tire problems. He was my fantasy pick. All right, thank you for your tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon, it's Matt. Hi, Tampa News Net. So first, with the Truck Series race yesterday, definitely at the end of the race, absolutely an amazing finish. You know, it came down to the last lap, and Grandenfinger got in there and won the race. Absolutely an incredible Truck Series race yesterday. Absolutely enjoyed that, and hopefully we'll see more of these bounties coming up in the future. I don't know if there's going to be one. I know I heard Chase Elliott is actually going to be racing next weekend, I believe, at Homestead. So maybe we might see another one. Let's see what happens with that. And for the Cup Series today, you know, Kevin Harvick, you know, absolutely had a dominant day, I think, in my opinion. And anyway, a couple of lucky dogs. First, the Truck Series races I mentioned yesterday, the finish at the end, Graham Ingfinger coming up and winning that race was absolutely incredible, and actually helped me, as that was my pick in the Lap Trap Fantasy this week for the Truck Series. So very happy about that. And the Cup Series race today, my second lucky dog, Kevin Harvick, definitely that number three at the end, you know, during the victory lap, absolutely an incredible tribute to Dale Earnhardt. I absolutely loved that. And my lap down, Clint Bowyer, up there all day, had all those tire issues. Really feel bad for Clint Bowyer, and hopefully maybe we'll see him do better at Martinsville coming up on Wednesday night. So anyway, take care, Brandon. Enjoy your week as always, and I'll talk to you next weekend after the race at Homestead. Thank you so much, Brandon. Bye.
Oh, Matt, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Yeah, great call there on the Dale Senior salute by Kevin Harvick. We all know the history there. Harvick, first win, taking over that ride there back in 2001, wins at Atlanta, beating Jeff Gordon barely but to the line there. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very nice gesture there. Loved every second of that for sure. And Bowyer, man, he's taking a he's racking up the votes this week, that's for sure. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I did watch all three races last weekend. I loved the double dip on Saturday, and I wouldn't mind more of those once we get back to a regular season, you know, next year or maybe even the year after, since I don't know if next year is a possibility, but I do enjoy those. Whether I'm at the track, it would be great, or watching it at home, I think it's a lot of fun. The truck and Xfinity races were both great. I am not one to call for shorter races, but I'm on the fence. I'm hearing a lot of talk about maybe this one for the Cup race should have been shorter. Maybe I'd be okay with making it a 400 instead of a 500. But again, I'm not really a big proponent of the shortening of races. So I don't know, maybe I don't have an opinion on that one. My lucky dog goes to the Cup race that we're going to have at Nashville starting next year, and it looks for the next two or three years after that. I know it's not what we all wanted, but I don't think we're going to be going to the fairgrounds anytime soon. Maybe this will be an opportunity to, you know, assure that we eventually go to the fairgrounds. I don't know, but at least it's shaking up the schedule and where we go a little bit. We'll have to see how it works out. I know I plan on being in the stands. I was a season ticket holder back when they used to race there at Nashville, the Super Speedway, for Xfinity in the truck races for many, many, many years. And I always enjoyed going. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I'm happy we're giving it a try for Cup. We'll see what happens. My lap down has to go to the 13s truck team for their big DQ. God bless America. Anywho, that's all I have for now. I'm excited about Martinsville on Wednesday, and it looks like we've got another big, great weekend of racing coming up over the weekend with Miami. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. Yes, we are headed to Miami. Kathleen and I got to hang out quite a bit at Homestead in November. Absolutely awesome. Thank you for calling in. You know, the shorter races that you mentioned, it could go either way, right? Like, I think that once we get the new car and the new rules package, you know, if that doesn't improve upon things, then, you know, maybe that's something NASCAR is going to have to do from a, you know, creating a little bit more competition on the track. But you shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to have a competitive 500-mile race. I think NASCAR has limited the level of competitiveness based on the rules package. So, and I think that's pretty understood, to be honest. So hopefully this new car will solve that problem and we don't have to talk about shortening the races. Totally get it on a weeknight. If we're running a Wednesday night race, I get that 100%. But man, yeah, hopefully we don't have to do that. And great call on Nashville there. That's crazy. You were a season ticket holder for so long there. Something tells me we'll probably run into each other there at some point in time for sure. All right, let's get to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline. You know who it is.
What's up, Brandon? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline calling in for some hot takes from Hotlanta. I think we're still in phase two reopening. I lose track at this point with everything else that's going on. Back to the racing. I thought Atlanta is just a very encompassing race of the things I'd like to see, the directions I'd like to see NASCAR go. I kind of felt some similar frustrations today, but, you know, everyone knows how I feel about the aero package. I'm not going to talk about that. I think it sucks. I'd love to see a choose cone at all tracks, and then I would also love to not run 500-mile races. There's no reason for us to run a 500-mile race at Atlanta. I do hope that Atlanta can stay as in this June date. I think the weather is much nicer this time of year in Atlanta, a little bit warmer, so it's going to help that surface out a little bit. Because I did think today was one of the better races with this aero package. Not as good as the Darlington races, but still a good race, relatively speaking, for the aero package. Overall, maybe not so much. Lucky dog, Kevin Harvick. For the win, congrats to you and the rest of Kevin Harvick Nation. Career win number 51, win for me in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. And lap down, just because I like to pick on him, why not? Let's go, Ricky Stenhouse. Hopefully we see a damn good race in Martinsville, and hopefully the old number 9 car gets me going in fantasy here for the second cup race of the weekend. Enjoy, and we have another hotline call at the end of the week.
Ah. Andrew Kansian, thanks for calling in. And big congratulations to Andrew Kansian on officially completing his basic training for law enforcement. Congratulations. Thank you for that sacrifice, my man. And look forward to talking to you very, very soon. All right. That is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. All right. It is time to close this thing out with a little Lapped Traffic Fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up, going, all that on social media. Love it. There are only 4 cup races to go in segment 1. Picks will reset at the end of Talladega, and segment 2 is going to kick off with the Pocono Double. I absolutely love how that has worked out there. So 4 cup races to go, so approximately 3 to 4 weeks here in terms of timing, if you want to look at it that way. Not a whole lot to recap because this week is still ongoing with Martinsville. So we've got tomorrow night's races counting for the Atlanta week. So we'll see how that all goes there. However, are you ready for this? Here's what I did. All the scoring is done except for tomorrow's race. Guess who's got week high at the moment? Yes, I currently have week high. I know that is a shocker to everybody. The picks are valid. You can go back and listen last week to hear who I picked. Can't believe it. I know I have jinxed myself and I've shot myself in the foot. I took Denny Hamlin for tomorrow. I am sure he's probably going to wreck out on lap 1 just because Brandon doesn't do well in Lap Traffic Fantasy. Anyways, I'll reset the top 10 here real quick for you guys. Jess Rose is in first. Joe Houston in second. Chad Robb in third. Richard Cravens in fourth. Toby Christie in fifth. John Entwistle in sixth. Kent Dolphy in seventh. Nathan Singleton in eighth. Brian Hall in ninth. And Greg Whited wraps out the top 10. Scores are going to reset for segment 2. However, there will also be the cumulative total that's going to set the playoffs top 16 at the end of segment 1 and 2. will make that. So there is that. Let's get this week's guest picker on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. He had week high at Bristol with a pretty dominating week, to be honest with you. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Michael Elliott. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Great, man. How's it going?
Awesome. Thanks for calling into the show. Happy to have you here. And, man, you're doing all right. Everybody's doing better than I am, but you're creeping up closer to that top 10 spot.
I'm moving back up. I had a little blip there in the middle, but thanks to a couple of good weeks, you know, I got the Chase Elliott win. I got the Keselowski pick two back to back. You know, I'm moving back up. I think I'm in 23rd now.
All right. And who'd you have this week?
Hamlin.
Hamlin. All right. So you're not bad. You might creep up there even more where we're sitting here in a couple weeks, but you know, keep it strong for that cumulative total, and you can very easily make the playoffs there, sir.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got to get that Go Ducks 42 guy.
Old Mick Rhodes. Oh, I love
yes,
Mick.
Sir.
Listen, as long as I finish ahead of the MOATF podcast, that's all I really care about. So other than that, I'm just glad everyone else is having fun. But yeah, Mick Rhodes, look at that. Man, a little smack talk there. I love that.
Oh, you got to, man. I sit at work and explain to him what a genius I am and how dumb his pick was every week.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, what did you think of the race in this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a good, solid race. I mean, it was, I don't know, man. Harvick took off and just kind of left everybody in the dust. And, it was one of those where, man, I'm enjoying watching the second, third, and fourth place battle.
Right, yeah, I hear you. You know, that it's kind of like, you know, you get Martin Truex at the right mile and a half track. You get Kyle, but, you know, you get Kevin Harvick. You know, it's kind of like, all right, one of these guys are going to win it. May not be the one leading it now, but one of these are probably going to. And then it's like, all right, you know, where's everyone else? And keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, that. You know, it's like one of those guys, they're all so good and they just find that, you know, that tenth of a second somewhere and bam.
Yep. It's crazy how little that makes a difference, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that and Pitt Road. Pitt Road, I think post-pandemic with the lack of practice and all that. And I love that the Pitt Road guys play a role sometimes in the outcome. Like, these guys are paid a lot of money. These guys are athletes. A lot of them are former college football players. Like, and pitting's a part of the game. So let's, you know, if they play a role, I'm all for that. And I think some of these guys have really stepped up with, their pit stops as of late since we've returned.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now Harvick had a couple of years there where his team let him down several times.
Absolutely.
And now it looks like they have their game on.
Yes, they got it dialed in. Well, sir, are you ready to make some picks for Homestead?
I'm ready.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed to Homestead, a track that has hosted the season finale for over 20 years, which we were last at November and saw Kyle Busch pick up the win and his second championship. Now we are about to see a mid-season race at Homestead. How much will the change in season impact things? Really not sure, to be honest with you. Right now, what I will think will impact the Lap Traffic fantasy players is, who do you have saved up with just a handful of races to go in segment one? Do you have any of the favorites left for this track? Most of the league has already used up Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin. But if you've got any of those guys left in the bag, maybe you can make a late segment charge. From a wins perspective, the manufacturers are pretty equal in the last 10 to 15 years, 5-6 wins apiece. Can Kyle Busch defend his race win from November and pick up this first win on the season? Can Martin Truex Jr., who's also winless, maybe pick up his first win? Does Harvick go back-to-back? We'll find out Sunday. But first, it's time for our picks. Mike, we'll start with the truck series. Who do you got?
I'm going to take Brett Moffitt.
Brett Moffitt, solid pick there. I am going to go with I'm going to stick with Thor Sport Racing for back-to-back wins. I'm going to go with Ben Rhodes this week. We'll go over to Xfinity Race number one on the weekend. Who you got, sir?
Man, I'm going to take Noah Gregson.
Noah Gregson, I like that there. I'm going with the 20 of Harrison Burton. And what about the Sunday Xfinity race, sir? Who you got?
Chase Briscoe.
Chase Briscoe. You know what's good for you there, sir? We haven't matched any picks yet. So that's solid. That means you do all right. I'm going to take Justin Haley for the second Xfinity race there. And how about the Cup finale late Sunday afternoon? Who do you got, sir?
So this is what I did. I called Joe Gibbs. I said, Joe.
You called Coach up.
You call him up. Coach, look, does the 19 team, do they remember right from left? Are they going to get the tires on the right side of the vehicle this time at Homestead? He said, they got you. They got you. I said, okay. So I'm going to go with Martin Truex.
That is classic. I absolutely love that. I am going to go with the 22 of Joey Logano for Homestead this weekend. That's great. Man, I love that. Good luck this week. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon. Enjoy the racing this weekend, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You take care. And Lap Traffic Nation, have a good race.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Oh, that was absolutely fantastic. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 186 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Don't forget about the giveaways. Go check those out. Big thanks to Woody Kane, AJ Allmendinger, Brian Newdorf, Michael Elliott for calling into the show this week. I am working on somebody for next week. Enjoy this weekend at Homestead. Enjoy the Wednesday night race at Martinsville. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.